Hey, I'm Clem.
And I'm Krishla.
And we're the Mad Marketing Mums. If you're a busy parent who feels like marketing your business online is the equivalent of walking barefoot through a field of Lego, this is the podcast for you.
In every episode, we'll be talking all things content marketing with a time-saving focus. You'll get sustainable social media strategies peppered with conversations with some of our favorite marketing professionals.
Our mission is to leave you empowered to make marketing decisions that work for you and your lifestyle, not an algorithm. So hit that subscribe button and let's get on with the show. Do you ever feel like getting people to click on your well-crafted call to action or to watch that reel that you spent hours creating is as tough as getting your toddler to eat their veggies? If you nodded yes, today's episode is tailor-made for you. Today, we're diving into the 7 unexpected similarities between marketing your business and parenting a toddler. So, first unexpected reason that Krishla and I have come up with is after it's after talking about how many times we have to tell our toddlers to put their shoes away, and it's repetition and consistency. So imagine, like, if you've got your toddler, how many times you have to constantly tell them to put their shoes away, or how many times you have to repeat and be consistent with whatever tactics you're using for, say, potty training. Repetition helps with that recall and that memorability. You need to share your key messages time and time again to get the message across. Very often, the first time someone hears your message, they're just not ready to hear it, or they're going to ignore it completely, or they may even just not see it. This is why Krishna and I tell our clients constantly that when you're trying to promote a product or service, you have to repeat that message. When people hop onto social, they're not going to necessarily see that post that you put on last week or scroll through your page to see what you've been promoting in the last week or two. They want to see what's on their feed and they want to see it now. So having that repeat message of, hey, have you downloaded our app? Hey, have you taken advantage of this promotion consistently and repeatedly across your campaign really help that user absorb that information and get them across the line.
Say it till it feels like you've said it too many times, then say it again is what I always say, right?
Yes.
Because it feels like a lot to you, but not to your audience, because like you said, they don't always see it.
Yeah, exactly. And that also plays in with consistency. So, you know, if you're being repetitive, you also have to be consistent. And that's just not in terms of like consistently posting. We're talking about consistency in your branding and your visual design. It makes it so much easier for your target audience to recognize your business and your brand across various online platforms. So what we mean by that is, for example, having the same profile image across all your platforms. So for example, I've got the same headshot across all of my platforms because that way when someone searches on their favorite social channel, they see my face immediately and they know that that's me that they want to follow.
Consistency is also really important, I think, Clem, in terms of, and if we use Instagram as an example, you're scrolling through the feed and you probably have accounts like this that as soon as you see that image, you know it's them without even looking at their username. That is the power of consistency and brand recognition. And I think that can't really be underestimated. So, yeah, like you say, it's not just about the messaging that you're sharing. It's also about your tone of voice. It's about the way that you show up and present yourself to the online world. Now, another thing that I think really likens marketing your business with hanging out with a toddler, let's be honest, it goes beyond the toddler years.
Yeah.
But that is simplicity. Toddlers and our audience have limited attention spans and they get distracted really, really easily. So it's important that we remove all distractions, especially when we want to communicate something that is super important, and whether that be making the offer for the sale, launching your product, your service, even just trying to get across a really key piece of information that's going to help with a mindset shift that you're audience need to make in order to be ready to buy from you. It is so important that we just remove all of those other distractions so that our message can get that cut through. And having simplicity in your messaging helps ensure that your audience can easily understand what your business offers. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll see a business and I'll see their content online and I'll think, what do they even do? Like, it's just really not clear, because there's so many messages and so many different visuals, you know, as we said before about that consistency piece. Having that simplistic approach to your marketing means that it's really focused, and having that clear and concise message is more likely to grab people's attention and resonate with them, but also stick in their minds.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you have really complex or convoluted marketing, you can confuse people, and a confused customer or a confused potential customer doesn't buy.
Yeah, I find that especially when if something's getting very technical, for example, if you're in the service industry and you're doing some highly technical document, even then you should be keeping it simple, because your end user might not necessarily know absolutely everything about your product or service that you're offering them as well as you do. You want them to be able to understand and use your services easily and quickly and effectively. And the only way to do that is to keep language very, very simple. Because again, we just do not have the attention span to try and absorb information that is very complicated. Just keep it simple.
Yep. It's hard sometimes because you're at the expert level and you're trying to think back to, you know, perhaps where you were 5 years ago, if your ideal customer is who you were back then.
Mm.
Or it could be you're trying to simplify that messaging for a completely new audience. I think it's really important that you do that with that language and avoid things such as acronyms or industry specific language, because people are going to switch off if it's not really clear and it's not really obvious. Mm. Look, the easiest way I would say to create that simplicity is to share one message at a time and one call to action. I see this a lot on social media. People are saying, like, comment, share, save, but also go to the link in my bio and sign up for this thing. It's too many calls to action. It's too many distractions. So you really need to think about the purpose of that post that you're putting out. That was a lot of P's in one sentence. Think about that purpose. What is the next step that you want them to take? And that is your call to action. Mm-hmm. That is where you're focusing all of that attention for your audience.
Another great example of that is also, I see it all the time, is on websites. On that main header image, you will see two calls to action buttons. Sometimes I've even seen three before. Keep it simple. You want them to do one thing and one thing only. So for example, you want them to contact you, make it the contact now button. Don't go learn more and contact us. Like, okay, which one do you want them to do? A toddler's the same way. You want them to do one thing and one thing only. Tell them to do that one thing and one thing only before moving on to the next step.
Yeah, absolutely. That was something that I had to learn the hard way when parenting, is not to talk about all the future steps. So, you know, we're going to brush your teeth and then we're going to get dressed and then we're going to put on our shoes and then we're going in the car. Like, it's too much information and their little heads explode. Instead, you're saying, right, teeth time. And then it's time to get dressed.
Yeah.
And then it's time to put on your shoes. And it's the same with your audience. What is the next step in that process that you want people to take? Hey, real quick, if you're enjoying this show, hit pause right now to leave us a rating and a review. This will help the Mad Marketing Mums to connect with other time-poor parents in business. And just quietly, it may earn you some good karma from the algorithm gods. Okay, so we've spoken about repetition and consistency, simplicity. What's next on our list of marketing things that are a little bit like managing a toddler?
Pickiness.
Oh, yes.
I'm going through this battle right now where it's pickiness and not willing to try new things as well. So people are picky about the content that they consume, the accounts that they follow. Like, we're creatures of habit, but we also have our own preferences. Like, I love consuming video. I'm not a huge fan of consuming text only. So, like, Threads, for example, is not my playground. toddlers often stick to foods and toys and activities that they know and like too. I mean, you'll notice that they are creatures of habit when it comes to those particular things. And consumers are exactly the same way, where they're more likely to engage with brands or content that they're familiar with and trust. So in the same way of where you're trying to get your toddler to be exposed to, say, a new food, for example, you might need to be doing it multiple times before they decide to like it. It's the exact same thing with consumers. They often need to be exposed multiple times or have multiple touch points, as we call it in the marketing industry, with a brand before they make their purchase decision. Now, I think it was like not even 5 years ago, it was 15 touch points. By touch point, we mean the social post, the email, you know, even a phone call, for example, could be considered a touch point. Different touch points where they slowly become familiar with your brand. Nowadays, it's more like 30 because of...
Yeah, I've heard 30.
Yeah, because of all of the different ways that someone can consume content now, even on just one platform. I mean, like, how many different ways can you consume content on Instagram, for example?
There's five surfaces, as Instagram calls it, five or six.
Surfaces?
If you're counting like DMs. So you've got the feed, reels, you've got stories, you've got direct message. What else have you got? Guides. Remember guides? Are people still using guides? They are still there.
Yep.
There's all these different, I call them placements. Instagram officially calls them surfaces.
Yeah.
But yeah, all these different ways that you can consume that content. So yeah, like you say, it's multiple touch points, right?
Yeah.
And different people will be hanging out in different areas of these platforms as well.
Yeah. So be conscientious of not just sticking to like one channel, one medium, one facet, for example. You need to be able to have your consumers absorb your information, you know, in the areas that they like to consume information. So at the same time, toddlers also require persuasion from us parents to try something new. You might try absolutely everything, like, oh, but your sister likes this, or, look, I really like it, or dad is eating it, why don't you? Consumers are just as skeptical about new products and brands, and they need that credible information and social proof to overcome that barrier and to go and try something new. So you can do the same thing within your marketing by educating people and moving them along in the buyer's journey. You want to be that coach, that trusted educator versus the dictator. You know, you don't want to go, you're going to be doing this. Instead, go, hey, you're doing this because of A, B, C. This is what you're going to get when you actually convert. You're like, when you buy my product or service, this is what you're going to be getting as well. Another way you can do this type of persuasion is by offering free trials or money back guarantees that can help mitigate that risk. Because really at the crux of it, our toddlers are picky and they don't want to eat a particular food because they think it's risky and it's not safe. So with offering those free trials or money back guarantees, you're helping people subconsciously think, this is actually safe for me to try. It's okay. I can try this and not like it and give it back if I want to. I can play with it and not like it and give it back if I want to. And that's okay. And that's still building trust with that consumer, because you're like, it's all right. Here, try this out. I'm here if you need help. And if you like it, let's keep talking. So being picky is definitely something with toddlers, and it is definitely with consumers for sure. Now, Krishla, what was the next one that you came up with?
That was the reason for is creativity, or rather your need to be creative, to come up with creative solutions. Sometimes we've all been there. You often need to think of creative ways to present your point of view, whether you're speaking to a toddler, whether you are speaking to a potential buyer, because different people like to consume content in different ways, as we said before, with those multiple placement options on platforms. So when we're talking to anybody, you really need to be able to present your ideas in a way that they not only understand, but using their own language.
Mm.
And if, it's exactly the same with your marketing. So using your audience's language ensures that you are getting your message across in a way that's really easy for them to comprehend. And you would have heard this a lot. We spoke about this way back in episode one, where we spoke about getting to know your ideal customer. We will link to that in the show notes, because we do have a freebie if you want to grab that ideal customer worksheet and resource. But it's one of the tips that we shared there was, when you're interviewing potential customers or clients or just having conversations with them, is to actually use their language in your marketing, because it helps them to understand what it is that you're speaking about. It helps create that connection and relatability. So I think sometimes we need to get a little bit creative with the way that we present things because of these different consumption habits that people have. And if your marketing materials are in a language or a style, like a visual style, for example, that your audience doesn't understand, they may ignore that content. And that's going to mean that you're missing out on a lot of opportunities for that connection, for that understanding, and for that engagement. And you had a good example of this when we were chatting offline, didn't you, Clem, about mismatched styles in marketing?
So we were talking about mismatched styles in terms of, say, American companies that are trying to market, say, here in Australia and New Zealand, have a tendency of thinking that this is just the US, but we just have a funny accent. And that's not the case. You know, we as a people and culture look very different to American people and culture. Our houses look different. The trees look different. So, for example, if an American company just used the exact same imagery here in Australia and New Zealand, it's not going to resonate as well. We're not going to be able to go and look at it and be like, yes, that's me. Yes, I can relate to that. It'd be so much easier if you had houses that look the same. The environment looks similar. Like, even styles and trends are different. I mean, hell, we celebrate Christmas in the middle of summer. It's not the middle of winter. You know, so it's, we have quite a few like opposites, and a lot of companies that are in the Northern Hemisphere seem to miss that.
Yeah, it's about that familiarity.
Yeah.
Because familiarity is what breeds trust. Exactly. Who do we buy from? People we trust.
Yes.
Another thing, if we're talking about the way that we are speaking to people and using their language, and this is whether we're talking about their actual language that they speak, turns of phrases, slang, things like that as well, I think are really important. Mm. But it's also about speaking their language in terms of their wants, needs, and struggles. And if you can do this, this is just, again, such a great way to establish that connection, to create that sense of empathy, trust, and just to make your audience, I think, a little bit more receptive to your message.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's next on our list of ways that marketing your business is like having a toddler? I love this one.
So pushback.
Yeah.
So, okay, but why? Simply stating that you're the best and not showing that proof is not likely to get you the results that you're after. And I see so many businesses, especially new ones, like really, really new ones, do this. They go, we are the leading company, blah, 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 blah. Well, if you've just started your business, the chances are is you're not likely the leading company to do that, first of all. But secondly, why? Like, prove it. This is where social proof can really help. Someone might not buy into your messaging until they actually see that someone else has done so. So that's social proof, is your customer testimonials. Celebrity endorsements are an example of social proof as well. They imply that if this person has had this result by using this service, I am likely to have that same positive outcome. So that helps with that. Okay, you say you're the leading company here. You say you're the best brand. Why? Oh, this person actually said it. This person actually said it. This person actually said it.
It's like how your kids will eat something at grandma's house, but not at your house.
Oh my God, yes.
Grandma said it was good. The exact same meal.
Yeah, mashed potatoes. That's the one for me right now. It's mashed freaking potatoes. No, refuses to eat mine.
It's the same thing. Okay.
Yeah, but it's also important with this okay, this concept of okay, but why and pushback. It's important to frame your product or service to highlight those benefits. Benefits are the why. Why should I care? You might show the features of your product or service, but why does that matter? So when you are thinking about, you know, my service has these features, ask yourself, okay, but why does that matter? The answer to your why does that matter is actually that benefit. Consumers don't care about the feature. What they care about is the outcome that they're going to get. So show them why that feature is good for them, and you're going to see that those results of that conversion or those leads that you're going to be getting might bump up just a bit.
Yeah, your toddler doesn't care about the make and model of your car, gas mileage or whatever. What they care about is when they get in the car, they're going to go to the park. They don't care about the vehicle. They care about the destination.
And they know the emotions that they have when they go to the park. It's joy.
Exactly. Yeah. So think about that. I think that as an analogy of the but why. Yeah. And there's an exercise you can do around this, can't you? Like a but why exercise. If you're having trouble teasing out those benefits, make a statement and then say, but why? Or why should they care?
Yeah.
And then you say the next thing, but why?
Yeah.
And dig a little deeper, but why? And you'll eventually get to that really juicy, meaty reason. And I've done this myself as well. Yeah, we lead with the features, but like, yeah, but there's this and this and this. And you inherently know the benefits of those features because you created the product or service, but your audience don't necessarily. So I think that but why exercise is such a good way just to dig a little deeper and to tease that out for sure.
Now, Crystal, you were telling me about a bit of a crisis that you had on your holiday that leads us into the next point.
Yes.
Which is and meltdowns.
Yes, sometimes you need to manage temper tantrums. Mm. Yes, we recently got back from a very long holiday and we have a three-year-old, nearly four-year-old, and there were many a temper tantrum because he was outside of his comfort zone. And we spoke about that a little bit earlier in that that need for security, for the things that you know and like. And it's the same with your marketing. Sometimes you do need to manage temper tantrums. They might not be quite as dramatic as my kids have where they flip the coffee table. But I know, it's pretty wild. But, you know, it comes, I think, first and foremost, back to managing expectations and having boundaries in place. Sometimes you do really need to set boundaries with your audience online, but managing those expectations, being really transparent, I think, upfront with your marketing and the way that you're speaking to people. Again, having that consistency in terms of your messaging is one way that you're going to be able to do this. It's also about being adaptable and changing things if they are not working, aborting the mission, or as Holly Cardamone spoke to us about way back, I think it was episode 17, I'll put it in the show notes, where we were speaking about content pillars, and she talks a lot about this in her books as well. Sometimes it's about killing off your darlings. If something's not working, I'm not saying kill your children, just for the record.
Don't come after us.
Yeah, exactly. But killing off your darlings, you might think, yes, Reels is the way to go. I'm going to go all in on this. But it's about looking at that data and going, is this actually working? And be willing to change or throw that out the window and try something else. Sometimes quite quickly. Sometimes you just need to abort the mission. Get the kids out of the playground and get home because you can see something crazy is going to happen. So I think, yeah, being really adaptable, being willing to change if required, or you may even get to the point where you have to actually employ some conflict management tactics, such as, you know, staying really calm and detached in your responses, especially with customer service, moving that conversation somewhere private, actively listening, and then seeking professional advice and support if necessary. But really, I think above all, Clem, with everything we've been speaking about today and with parenting in general, it's really about patience, right?
Yes. Yes. It is very much about patience and the long game. And sometimes you might take two steps forward and then you take one step back. You know, like, for example, we're potty training at the moment. We've got big boy undies, but, you know, just yesterday it's, no, I would prefer a nappy. No, I don't want big boy undies anymore. It's like, ah, taking one step back, but this is a long game. Content marketing is a long game. Neither parenting nor marketing usually provide those immediate rewards. Like, we get the big reward, you know, at the very end when they do finally potty train. Or, you know, you might get small rewards here and there in the lead up to that big reward. Your brand's story is going to build over time through multiple pieces of content, through different interactions with your audience, with, you know, being consistent with your messaging. And you're going to develop that trust over time with your audience because, like we said before, it's now like 30 touch points before someone is really ready to go, yep, I'm ready to sign on the dotted line, or yep, I'm ready to actually talk face to face to someone to get whatever I need from them. It does get easier the more you do it and the more you remain consistent. So it is all about being just completely patient.
You're showing up even when it's a bit tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is with your toddler as well as your business baby.
100%. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Day in, day out. It's not glamorous.
No.
To build a business, to raise a child. Just like there's no shortcut in raising a child, there's no shortcut in raising your business exactly. either.
Instagram might say it is glamorous, but we all know that raising a child and building a business is not.
No way. No way. Yeah,
play the long game. Well, yeah. Anyway, a short and sweet episode, 7 ways that marketing your business is like managing a toddler. We would love to hear some feedback from you parents out there about this topic. Let us know by leaving us a rating and a review with how you related to this episode, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for tuning in. If you loved what you heard, please leave us a review. Reviews help other busy and overwhelmed business parents to find our podcast. Also, remember to subscribe so you never miss a new episode. Until next time.